And Jesus says that he liberated those who were trapped in darkness. There is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that shatters the darkness in your life and brings you a new day.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, March 8th, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, His Way of Life. And our text comes to us from Acts chapter 10, verses 38. And now, here is Pastor Zoni.
Well, this is the season of Lent, the 40 days that we walk where Jesus walked, and we think about Jesus' last 40 days before he went to the cross and paid the price, the death and the cross. And this morning, I'd like to show you something that happened in the book of Acts, that in one verse, St. Luke tells us everything that you and I need to know about Jesus Christ and his 40 days, actually his whole life. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Very well-known text. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That is the best summary of Jesus Christ in this world. Again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Lent is a time, we don't usually use the word Lent because Lent is part of a tradition that is not necessarily the ones that we are accustomed to in identifying, but it's a season of time when we try to slow down our pace and prepare our hearts as Jesus walked to the cross. And the road to from Galilee to Jerusalem and then finally to the cross reveals so much about the life of Jesus. The majority of the gospel was written during those last days in the life of Christ. And so the idea of walking with Jesus through Lent is a good opportunity for us to reflect and to slow down and to think through what it meant for the early church, what it meant for the, really, for the believers of the New Testament, and what it means to you and to me. Because before there was the cross, there was a life that Jesus lived, a life that he lived quietly among ordinary people, people like you and me, I suppose. And yet when Peter, in the house of Cornelius and in this setting that he's in, speaks about Jesus, he says, he went about doing good. He went about doing good. He did not come to criticize. He did not come to put us down. He did not come to condemn us. He came to save us. He went about doing good. And so as we remember the days of Jesus going towards the cross, we should remember the pattern of his life, what he did and how he lived. There are five things I'd like to mention to you today. The first thing is that Jesus gives us a pattern of life. And the first thing is Jesus, Scripture says, was anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus did not act alone. This is so important for you and I to understand that his ministry flowed from a relationship that he had with the Father and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was not independent. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit. We don't really understand all that went on in the Trinity at that time, but we do understand very clearly that he related to the Father and was guided by the Holy Spirit as he performed the duties that he was called to do. So before the miracles, before the crowds, before the cross, Jesus encountered the desert in his life. And in that desert, he learned a very simple lesson. And it's that you just don't need bread alone. Bread will not do it by itself. You need a lot more than just bread. You need a lot more than just power. You need a lot more than just spectacle. Jesus' resources for life were in the Word of God, in God himself. They're dependent on God himself. Faithfulness to the Father, the commitment to follow through on what God had asked him to do. That's the victory and the pattern of life that Jesus gives us. He went about doing good. And this is exactly what you and I need to think through. It's not just bread. It's not just power. It's not just spectacle. It's not getting whatever goals you have in life. It's faithfulness to the Father where everything flows. As you commit yourself to Him in these days, as you seek the Lord, ask yourself this big question very clearly. Is my life rooted in the Lord? Is the Lord the center of my life? Is my actions, do they follow God's presence in my life, or do I preempt the Lord all the time? Does the Lord have my attention, and do I have the Lord's attention? So you should not walk alone. You should not do things by yourself. Jesus, the scripture says it clearly, was anointed by God. There was this commitment with God, a commitment that you and I need to have. You don't walk alone. You must never walk alone. You must walk with the Lord. The Lord has to walk with you. So the first thing I'd like for you to identify in your own life is the presence of God. How much is He a part of you? How much is He a partner in? What is He doing in your life? How are you identifying God's presence? How do you identify His doings? How do you decipher the pulse of God's presence in your life? Because that's important, and that's where it all begins. The second thing I see is that Peter says he went about. He was a pilgrim Messiah. He was on the road. You know that song, On the Road Again, On the Road Again? I don't want to ruin everything, but he sings that, On the Road Again. Well, he was always on the road, from village to village, from house to house, from synagogue to shoreline. He went everywhere. He did not establish himself in a palace. He did not establish himself in one particular place. The scripture shows us how he walked all the dusty roads, and he most of his ministry was in the outskirts of society, in the margins of society. He entered the ordinary life of people. He sat at tables, and he noticed what others ignored. He understood what was going on in the life. He reminds us as often that the kingdom of God often walks very quietly in ordinary paths. Let me give you a secret here. It's not a secret, but let me tell you that sometimes we want God to prove himself in our lives with the spectacular. But the kingdom of God is like leaven, it says. It's just this little small thing. You put it in the dough, and then you walk away, and you come back, and it's filled. It's like a grain of mustard, very small, insignificant. You put it there. You don't stand there and say, okay, grow. No. It just grows when you're not even around. And as you invest in serving God, as you invest in walking where God has you walking, the kingdom of God is active there. And the kingdom is working in such a way that all the ordinary paths become a platform, a pulpit, a message. It becomes the substance for your daily life. The Lord is there in the small things. Don't ever forget that in the small things, we will find the big things. Amen. Jesus walked around where people were ill and suffering, and people were going through issues and problems and misunderstandings. And he taught fearlessly. He taught and he spoke and he encouraged people to go on. And you say, did that amount to anything? For everything. For the kingdom of God was being sown, and the kingdom of God was being introduced in the lives of people. So I need you to understand very clearly that Christ walks with human suffering. Christ walked quietly through ordinary paths. He walks in that moment that you think you're all alone. You're not alone. But I don't hear footsteps. He's carrying you. Presence of God in your life and in my life. He went about. And so you can acknowledge the Lord going about in your life. What have you been facing lately? Well, whatever it is, the Lord is there. The Lord is present there. And let me just say, the kingdom of God moves very quietly. And the kingdom of God is Jesus is the King. Walks silently, with sometimes not even noticing that he's there, but he's there. He is there all the time. The third thing I need you to know is that the goodness of the kingdom of God is there. Peter doesn't say Jesus went about organizing religion or doing anything like that. He says we went about doing good. Doing good. Think of it. He was doing good things. Are you a good thing? Because God's doing things in your life. Doing good things. So Jesus walked through the streets, and he was visible, and yet he made great restorations. Visible in that he walked and he saw the needs, and there was a blind man, a man who was blind, and he saw again. There was a leper, and he touched him without fear. Sinners were forgiven. Go and sin no more. The widow was noticed with her pain and his presence there. Children were welcome to wherever he was. Every act of goodness was a sign of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God breaking through a wounded world. God has compassion. Jesus showed compassion, and he shows that to you and to me today. You know, he understands where you're hurting. I may not be as a person. I may not understand your pain. Others may not understand your pain, but Jesus understands the pain. He knows when you're blind and you don't see things. He knows what's ailing you. He knows what sins to forgive. He knows the pain and the discarded life that sometimes you feel you have, the disappointments of life. He understands all of that. The acts of goodness were not based on the person who was doing something good, but it was based on Jesus who was good. He is the one who comes to you and blesses you and strengthens you. You and I remember the road to Calvary, but let me just tell you, it was not a road without mercy. It was lined with mercy. He was going to die on the cross, and as he saw the needs of people, he stopped to do what needed to be done. So it was a life lined with mercy and love, doing good. How many of you need for the Lord to do good to you? I think all of us. How many has he? He's already done good in your life and in my life. That's the life that he had. So we thank God for that, because he was not cruel. He was not a despot. He did not put people down. He did not belittle people. He lifted people. He lifted women. He lifted children. He lifted society. He cared. He cared, and it was good, and he was doing good in the lives of those people, and he's doing good in your life and in my life. Can you see the mercy of God in your life? I see it all the time. We need to see God doing good in our lives. The fourth thing I need to say is that Jesus was able to confront the broken world. And boy, did he see it broken. Peter says he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. You know, there's a lot of oppression today and a lot of depression today. And the devil just likes to just build it on top of you. Jesus did not walk through this world pretending everything was fine. And he looks at you and he looks at me and he knows some things are not fine. I don't want to say, would you raise your hand if you know some things are not fine? Because that will be too much of a open disclosure. I need my mind to be rested this afternoon. I lost an hour of sleep. But the Lord knows. And we cannot just pretend to think everything is fine. You know, sometimes things are not fine. And so the Lord understood that. And he came to deliver you and to strengthen you and to heal you from the attack of a world that is wicked and twisted and broken. So many of us sometimes don't understand how Jesus wants to confront the brokenness and the suffering in your life. Sometimes we think the only thing that matters is that you gave your heart to Jesus and that someday you'll go to heaven. No, Jesus is involved in your life right now, this moment, this instant. And he wants to confront your suffering. He wants to challenge the injustices that you have in your life. And Jesus says that he liberated those who were trapped in darkness. There is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that shatters the darkness in your life and brings you a new day, a spring day, a day where you can breathe new air and understand his glory and his peace is around you. That is not doom and doom and doom. That is not darkness. It's brightness. It's light. Jesus comes to set you free from the power of the enemy that continually tries to push you down and push you down and push you down. I'm not talking about demon possession. I'm talking about regular Christians who are bombarded by a world that is adversary to our faith. And there's so many thoughts that come to our life and into our mind that are not from God. But when you get into the Word and you see what God is doing in His Word, you begin to see that God wants to break through all of those quarters that are just engulfed with darkness. He wants to come in with fresh light. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to all of us, you are the light of the world. He wants you to shine in the midst of the darkness that you experience today. So the kingdom of God is not passive, it's active. It's active. He went about healing those who were oppressed by the devil. He is active. He's working. Deep, deep mystery that one way or the other, God intervenes in your life and allows you to live a different type of experience. You see, as someone who doesn't believe in the Lord and then you who believe in the Lord, and you try to bring the two lives together and they don't match because there is an anchor in your heart. There's a gyroscope in your heart. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God. It's community that shows you there's a better way and the Lord is working in that better way. You and I need to know that Jesus still breaks the power and the bondage of the enemy that often comes to torment us. I'm sure I'm the only one. I'm the only one in this planet. That's an exaggeration. I'm the only one in this church. That's even better. That sometimes can't sleep well at night because of all the crazy thoughts that come to your mind. The Lord comes to shatter that so that you can have peace. The Lord wants us to sleep well, wants us to rest well, wants us to live a life of radiance and light. So Jesus confronts the brokenness of the world, confronts the darkness that comes to our lives, confronts those issues that you and I cannot see, resolve them by ourselves, only with the presence of the Lord. And, you know, it's amazing that Jesus did all of this. And the healer would become the wounded one in a few days after what we celebrate Lent, and we see the presence and the power of the Lord in our lives. Can you say amen or something like that? Yeah. What was the secret of the life of Jesus? It says, for God was with him. See, we go right back to the 23rd Psalm, don't we? For God was with him. That's right. For God was with him. The hidden center of the life of Jesus, everything that he ever did was because he was working together with the Father, aided by the Holy Spirit, as we said before. And the secret is simply not to refuse communion with the Lord, but to seek the Lord with all your heart. For the pattern of Jesus was dependency on the Father and the Holy Spirit. And if he depended on the Father and the Holy Spirit, how much more you and I need to depend on a closer union with him, an active agenda of seeking God first. Seeking God first. Because that's the reason the miracles flowed in the life of Jesus. The miracles was simply the byproduct of his relationship with the Lord. It's the byproduct of your life and my life that things happen. The primary element of what happens in our life is that we approach God and we seek him. It says, seek him with all your heart. The scripture tells us, knock and it shall be what? Answered. You know, some of you don't do this because you think you're ready to go to heaven. Let me just tell you, heaven is right now at this very moment. If you dare to walk into the presence of God, you will find that he will answer when you call, that he will open, that he will speak to you, that he will guide you, that he will show you things that you never thought were possible to be seen. You need to seek the Lord yourself. You need to take time because it all begins with God in your life, yes, but you acknowledging God's presence in your life as Jesus did. Jesus lived every moment aware of the presence of God. Sometimes I'm driving and I need more to remember the presence of the Lord in my life. Some of you need that more than others. Sometimes we forget that the Lord is there in every one of our actions. Lent calls us to become more aware, to become more cognizant of what is going on around us and in our hearts. The Christian life is not primarily activism. It's a life lived in the presence of the Lord and waiting on the Lord. Again, the way I see Jesus working in my life and in your life is very simple. Submit myself to him and let the Lord do his work in my life. Seek him when he may be found. I can find him today. Look for him in my life. Look at every area of my life that seems to be off and allow him to speak to it. so that that area of my life can be straightened out. Look at every situation that I'm going through and say, Lord, am I honoring you? Is your presence in this situation the ideal? Lord, you know, this self-examination for Lent is what it's all about. Looking inside and to see the areas of our life that need to be surrendered totally to the Lord, given up to the Lord. Sometimes we want to resolve the problems ourselves, and we can't. We have to let the Lord do that. And so it's, you know, let go and let God, or let God and let go. I don't know how it works. But the important thing is that the Lord becomes the principal center of your life, and it works that way. He lived in the presence of the Lord. So my question to you is, you know, how are you celebrating Lent? How are you remembering the Lord? That's what he did. This is how he lived. Maybe we should try to live like he lived so that his word would be honored in our lives. Well, we can learn again this season how Jesus lived. And we can maybe look at our lives and see the areas of negligence, and we can repair them. We can move through this world in a new special path of reconciliation. Maybe you and I need to spend more time in being quiet in the presence of the Lord. Maybe we need to check our faithfulness to him. Maybe we need to develop more compassion. Perhaps the most important thing is simply to bow down and say, Lord, have your way, even when the way is the cross. We said last Sunday how important it is for us to let Friday do its work in our lives, that there are some things need to be put to death. We also said last Sunday that we need to have that Sabbath, that time of resting that God is working, because only then we can enjoy the purpose and the full dimensions of the resurrection. So we pause this Sunday and we ask ourselves the question, how are we doing? How is our path? How does it compare with Jesus? What am I doing that is good? What am I doing as I go about my business? How do I interpret Jesus for others? How do I look at my own inner heart and see the areas that need to be adjusted and simply surrendered to the Lord? But it's only when you do this self-examination that things begin to happen in the life of the Christian. And you know, it may be that you really are not a Christian. It may very well be that you don't have the Lord in your heart. You never said, Lord, come into my life. But you should have him come into your life. Because when he comes into your life, he begins to fix the furniture, rearranges the furniture. If we look at your living room now, there's bedspreads in there, and the couches in the bathroom. You know, it's all kind of conflicted and disorderly life. I needed to say something like that. And then the Lord comes and he says, hey, this goes here, this goes there, this goes there. And he arms your life. He puts your building together, your inside, your soul, your will, your heart, everything about you, but you need to come to him quietly and faithfully and compassionately. Maybe we should pray just this way. Lord, whatever I walk today, wherever I go today, teach me also to go about doing good. Help me to do that. For me to be able to do that, I have to come to him and surrender my life to him once and for all. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the moving of your Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the one who guides us to this day. Our hearts are being prepared, Lord, for the moment when we will celebrate, Lord, your resurrection. But never, Lord, never we forget that before the resurrection, we had Friday. So, Lord, there's things in our lives that need to be lined up. There's things in our lives that need to be rearranged. There's things in our lives that we need to submit to you. Lord, take away our sadness. Replace it with joy, Lord. Take away our concerns and replace them with peace. Take away our aggressiveness and give us peace and forgiveness for others, Lord. Look at our hearts, Lord Jesus, and work in such a way that we can serve you and that we can honor you, Lord. Help us to meditate in your word. Help us to rely on the Holy Spirit and help us to live in community for your glory and for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord, and amen.
And amen. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. Yes, he tells me I am his own, and the joy.
There's nothing difficult nor impossible for the Lord to do. Trust Him with all your heart. Jesus went about doing good, so He wants to do good in your life.
Amen.
He's not condemning you. He's not putting you down. He's not harassing you. He is blessing you. Just allow Him to work in your heart, and we'll give Him all the praise and all the glory. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Hand clap to the Lord. The Lord is good to us. So we say very clearly, very, very importantly, this is the day
that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.